Lord, we come to you this morning, Lord, and we're thankful again, Lord, that we can come into your tabernacle, Lord. We're thankful, Lord, that we can come around your table and remember our Passover lamb. We thank you, Lord, for your grace, your mercy, and your loving kindness, Lord, towards sinners. For you are the friend of sinners. We thank you for that crimson tide, Lord, that flowed from your riven side at Calvary's cross. But we thank you, Lord, that you're alive forevermore. We worship you this morning, Lord. We just pray, Lord, that you'll take complete control, Lord, of this meeting, Lord, and have your way. Move upon your people as you please, Lord. And let your name be glorified and exalted, and let Jesus be high and lifted up. We ask it, Lord, in your wonderful name, Lord. Amen. As I thought about Passover week, and as I thought about the death, the burial, and the resurrection of the lovely Saviour, our Passover lamb, a thought started to come to my mind. And the thought was of the upper room. But then another thought came to my mind, and it said, this one. And it was directed by the Holy Ghost to clear the upper room. Push everybody else to the side. And the thought in my head was, this one, do you know who he is? And my reply was, the Passover lamb for the sin of the world. But then a fresh revelation comes. Do you know who this is? Sitting in the upper room, this one. Do you understand who he is? So then I started to write. I started to pray. And I started to seek the Lord and how he wanted to go with this word. And he brought me to a prayer of Moses in Psalm chapter 90 and verse 2. And in Psalm chapter 90 and verse 2, Moses prays this. And he says, before the mountains were brought forth, or ever thou hadst formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. From everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. Moses declares that God is eternal. From everlasting to everlasting, having no beginning or end, not limited as we are by time. Moses says that God is from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. Then we go to Psalm 45 and verse 6. Psalm 45 and verse 6. And the psalmist says this. Psalm 45 and 6. Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. So he is from everlasting to everlasting. His throne is from ever to ever. The scepter of thy kingdom is a right scepter. What does that mean? It means he's from everlasting to everlasting. His throne, it means a statement. It's a statement of supernatural deity. He is from everlasting to everlasting. His throne is from everlasting to everlasting. And he is a supernatural deity. That's who this one is. This one in the upper room, that is he. Deity means that he is creator supreme. This one in the upper room is from everlasting to everlasting. This one's throne will never decay. This one is creator supreme. This one is deity. This one in the upper room. The scepter of thy kingdom is a right scepter. That speaks of his authority and his justice. This is who is in the upper room in Jerusalem. Psalm 102. Let's turn to it. Psalm 102, verse 25 and 26. Of old hast thou laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the work of thy hands. They shall perish, but thou shalt endure. Yea, all of them shall wax old like a garment. As a vesture shalt thou change them, and they shall be changed. He is eternal. He is everlasting. It says wax old, but the Creator is eternal. When he made all things, and in the beginning God, before that God, and continuing forever. That's what the psalmist is saying. They shall be changed. When this creation is changed, and the new creation is in place, God is still the same. He changes not. When your garments wax old, when you wax old, and if the Lord tarries and you find yourself 6 foot under, your old decayed body, absent from the body and present with the Lord, he changes not. His throne is eternal. He is from everlasting to everlasting. This is he. This one is sitting in the upper room. Do you understand who he is? Revelation chapter 21. Revelation chapter 21 and verse 1 says this. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. The old has passed away. The new creation is here. But God changes not. So this one in the upper room, who is he? Who is this one? He is eternal. He is everlasting. He has an eternal throne. He is supernatural. He is deity. He is supreme. And he has a kingdom. And his kingdom will last forever. This one in the upper room, this one, he is from everlasting to everlasting, and the gaze and the focus is on this one. He is supreme. He is deity. His throne is forever. He is from everlasting to everlasting. He is righteous. He is just. He is God. He is God supreme. This is he who is sitting in the upper room from everlasting to everlasting. Let's go to Exodus chapter 12. Exodus chapter 12. Here he is. He just didn't appear in the upper room. Here he is in Exodus chapter 12. Let's read some verses explaining the Passover. Explaining our Passover lamb. Let's read Exodus 12, 5 to 8. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. Ye shall take it out from the sheep or from the goats, and ye shall keep it up until the 14th day of the same month. And the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. And they shall take of the blood and strike it on the two side posts and on the upper door post of the houses whereon they shall eat it. And they shall eat the flesh in that night, roast with fire and unleavened bread, and with bitter herbs they shall eat it. Let's go to verse 11. And thus shall ye eat it with your loins girded, your shoes on your feet, your staff in your hand, and ye shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. For I will pass through the land of Egypt this night, and I will smite the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, against all the gods of Egypt. I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where ye are. When I see the blood, when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. This is a type of Christ. This is a foreshadow to the Messiah. He's passing over Egypt, and it says in verse 11, gird your loins. And you gird your loins and you stand. But listen, a slave would have stood, but no longer slaves, Israel. Gird your loins and put your shoes on your feet, because Christ is passing by. The chains are going to fall off. No longer a slave to Egypt. No longer a slave to the world. Because the Messiah is passing through our Passover lamb. And when he sees the blood, he will pass over you. No longer slaves to sin. No longer slaves to the world. When I see the blood, he says, get to your feet. You're leaving. You're free. The Passover lamb is passing through. Get to your feet, Israel. The Passover lamb is passing through. And when I see the blood speaks. When I see the blood, I will pass over you. 1 Corinthians chapter 5. Purge out therefore the old leaven, that ye may be a new lump. He's speaking to the church. Apostle Paul's speaking to the church. Purge out the sin. Purge out the old leaven, that ye may be a new lump. As ye are unleavened, without sin, because of what Christ has done. For even Christ, our Passover lamb, is sacrificed for us. You are a new creature in Christ. In Romans 12 and chapter 1, it speaks of a new creation in Christ. Purge out the old leaven. You're a new creation in Christ. It speaks of putting yourself on the altar for Christ. Be a living sacrifice unto Christ. Be a walking, talking, living sacrifice, which is your reasonable service because of what the Passover lamb has done for us. We are a new lump. We are a new creation in Christ Jesus, our Passover lamb. Purge out the leaven. Talking to the church. A new lump. Different, changed, and transformed because of what Christ has done. Let's go to Micah 5 and 2. 700 BC. Micah 5 and 2. But thou, Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall be he come forth unto me that is to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from everlasting. Micah prophesies 700 years before Christ of the Messiah entering into Jerusalem. Isaiah 7 and 14. Isaiah 7 and 14. It says this: therefore the Lord himself, give you a sign. Behold, a virgin conceived and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel, God with us. Bethlehem Ephratah. Ephratah means fruitful. Bethlehem means the house of bread. And here is Isaiah prophesying. Micah, Isaiah prophesy 700 years BC before Christ is born. But we couldn't keep the law. The law is a mirror. It shows us our failures. And all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Israel has went a whoring after other gods. And we couldn't keep the law. And we're lost. So what do? We go to Jeremiah 31 and 31. We go to Jeremiah 31 and 31. Only God could fix it. There's only God, there's only salvation through Christ, our Passover lamb. Will you say to me, what did he do? Jeremiah tells you, in Jeremiah 31 and 31, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will make a new covenant. A new covenant. There had to be a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. I will make a new covenant. Animal sacrifices would never do. You could slay as many goats and bulls as you like and turtle doves. As many grain offerings as you want. It will never do. There had to be a new covenant. We couldn't keep the law. We had all fallen short. Salvation is of God and none other. It's not of a pope. It's not of a priest, a king or a queen or a pastor or Muhammad or the WEH or the WEF. Salvation is of Christ and Christ alone. Jeremiah 31:31 says it. Only Christ can fix it. Only Christ, our Passover lamb, could deal with the sin problem. He made a way. He made the new covenant. What a savior. And what a Lord. Jesus enters Jerusalem as Passover is being celebrated. We talked about it in Exodus chapter 12. Let's go to John chapter 12. Let's go to John chapter 12. 12 to 15. On the next day, much people that were come to the feast, when they heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem, took branches of palm trees and went forth to meet him and cried, Hosanna! Blessed is the King of Israel that cometh in the name of the Lord. And Jesus, when he had found a young ass, sat thereon, as it is written, Fear not, daughter of Zion. Behold, thy king cometh, sitting on an ass's fold. Sitting on an ass's fold. Zechariah chapter 9 and verse 9, prophesied that. You see, the word of God is alive. The word of God is truth. Thy word is truth. The prophets prophesied up at 700 years BC. Here's Zechariah, 520 years BC, before this event. And listen to what he says. It has to be Holy Ghost inspired, you see. He couldn't have foretold this himself. We've read the scripture from John chapter 12. Scripture interprets scripture. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem, behold, the king cometh unto thee. He is just and having salvation, lowly. That means he's humble. He's humble. And riding upon an ass and upon the colt, the foal of an ass. That matches John chapter 12. There's only one way that could match. It's Holy Ghost inspired. This book is the Word of God. Never mind any other books. And I read books. And I do it to study. And it's good to read books. But this book, this collection of books here, it's Holy Ghost inspired. It's of God. What other book would you want to read than a book sent to you by God? It's priceless. See this book? Money can't buy that book. And you have it in your hand. And we thank the reformers for that. Praise God for the men with backbone who were burned at the stakes and had their heads chopped off. The apostles and the martyrs. Praise God for them, because you can sit in his tabernacle with that book. And those people can't be bothered to get out of their beds. Never forget your forefathers who went before you, who spilled blood. See, they want you to forget it. Ah, forget that. That's where all love is love. Rubbish. It'll not be love and love whenever Christ comes back. He's coming to rule and reign. Today is the day of grace. But when the day of grace passes, Jesus will rule and reign. And justice will be done in the courts of Christ. There'll be no more debates or solicitors. You'll not need them. You'll not be getting the lard at any jury service. You'll not need it. Stick it in the bin. Jesus will rule and Jesus will reign. He's wonderful. Zechariah prophesies. In Psalm 118, let's turn to it. Psalm 118. Verse 25 and 26. Save now, I beseech thee, O Lord. I beseech thee, send now prosperity. Blessed be he that cometh in the name of the Lord. We have blessed you out of the house of the Lord. One of the Hallel Psalms from 113 to 118. They would have sung this. They would have brought their sacrifices. They would have walked the steps with their lambs singing these psalms. Remembering the Passover of Egypt. But the Lamb of God who taketh away the sin of the world would have heard those psalms. He was walking among them. He would have heard them singing these psalms. I wonder what his thoughts were. Here he is. Manifest in the flesh. That one who passed through Egypt. In Exodus chapter 12. Here he is, this one in the upper room, from everlasting to everlasting, supreme deity, an everlasting throne. Here he is. And they're carrying the lambs to the temple, singing the Hallel Psalms. And Christ can hear it. But they're singing about Christ. He's in the flesh amongst them. Here he is, this one in the upper room. I wonder what his thoughts were. I wonder what he was thinking. The hustle and the bustle. The hustle and the bustle of Jerusalem. The celebration of the Passover. But the Passover lamb is here in flesh. Deity in flesh, here he is. And they miss him. They miss him. We can miss Jesus. This one He is supreme. He is God. And we miss it. For a fresh revelation of God. A fresh revelation of Christ. I need it. I need to see it. I want it. To set the church on fire. And for his glory. We need to see it. Do you see him in the upper room? Push the disciples to the side. Push them to the side. Do you see him? This one. In Jerusalem at Passover, Jerusalem would have had about 55,000 inhabitants. But at Passover, that swelled to about 180,000. And then there would have been hundreds of thousands coming from the surrounding villages and passing through. They would have passed through Jerusalem with their lambs. A lamb for one family. A lamb for every family. Carrying their lambs. Singing the Psalms. Singing the Hallel Psalms. And there would have been blood everywhere. The temple would have been just blood. Slaying the lambs. But as it said in Exodus 12, a meal, speaking of Christ, 1 year old, the only begotten, without blemish and without sin, the lambs would have been carried to the temple. Luke 22. Luke 22. This one. This everlasting one. Luke 22 verse 14. And when the hour was come, he sat down. This one. Him. He sat down, and the 12 apostles with him. And he said unto them, with desire I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. Here is the Passover lamb, this one. For I say unto you, I will not any more eat thereof until it be fulfilled in the kingdom of God. And he took the cup and gave thanks and said, take this, and divide it among yourselves. For I say unto you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God shall come. And he took bread and gave thanks and brake it and gave unto them saying, this is my body which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. Likewise also the cup after supper saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood which is shed for you. He says with desire. In verse 15. With desire. And it's a strong word. And in the Greek it means thelo. And what does he mean when he says with desire? He says I am willing. I am wanting a deep intensity and relationship with you. Jesus delighted in his Father's will to love and to be found doing in the upper room. He delighted in the Father's will, a deep desire to do the Father's will. But in verse 19, this is my body. And he takes the bread, one lump, but this lump represents no sin. Unleavened, one lump. But what do they do with the lump? They break it, representing his lovely body that hung on that cross. Here is your sacrifice. One lump, but many partake. One cup, but many drink of it. Here is the sacrifice. One cup, partake ye all of it. One lump, break it. Here is your sacrifice. Here is your Passover lamb to take away the sin of the world. Hebrews chapter 2. Hebrews chapter 2. One cup, one lump. Break and partake, drink. One cup, but they all drunk. One lump, but they all partook of it. Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 9. But we see Jesus. I see Jesus this morning through the eye of faith, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he by the grace of God should taste death for every man. One cup, one lump. Verse 10. For it became him for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, everlasting to everlasting, in bringing many sons unto glory. You have one cup, but he says, partake of it. This is my blood. You have one lump, but he says, break it. Many partake of it, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through suffering. He is the captain of our salvation. One sacrifice, one sinless body, one spotless blood, but many partake. This one in the upper room, push everybody else to the side. Can you see Jesus? This one. John 18. John 19:17. And he bearing his cross, or I'll put it like this, he bearing his altar. Here's the altar. Went forth into a place called the place of a skull, which is called in the Hebrew Golgotha. He, this one, this sacrificial lamb, is now carrying his altar, because he will sacrifice himself on the altar. When man had done his worst, the sacrifice on the altar, here he is. But then I thought about it. The Father pours out the wrath of the world, the sin of the world upon him, and he turns his face. Here is your Passover lamb. Here's the altar. Here's the sacrifice, and there's the fire. This one, from everlasting to everlasting. This one from Exodus chapter 12. Here he is. Another thought came to my head when I was studying this. And because he is creator supreme. And he is from everlasting to everlasting, and his throne it will never decay. And I thought, and my head just went, and I thought, Lord, when you were in the tomb, everything was still in place. The planets didn't fall out of the skies. The stars didn't fall out of the skies. Because you see, even when he was in the tomb, he was in control. Do you want to know why? Because he's God. He's supreme. Did you ever think of that? What did the enemies think when he was lying in the tomb? I wonder. But he was still in control. He still upheld everything. Even though he's dead, he's still in control. Did you ever think about that? That sends your mind into orbit. How? Because he's God. You see, he's God. This one, he's God. John 19:30. In complete control. This one. When Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, it is finished. And he bowed his head and he gave up the ghost. It wasn't taken from him. He wasn't murdered. No. He gave up the ghost. How? He's God. He's supreme. He's eternal. When you get a fresh revelation of Christ, that Passover lamb in the upper room, it changes everything. Get yourself a fresh revelation of Christ. How do you do it? You get on your knees and you get into the Word. And you ask God to speak to you. And you don't leave until he does. Luke 24. Luke 24, 1-8. Now upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came unto the sepulchre, bringing the spices which they had prepared, and certain others with them. And they found the stone rolled away from the sepulchre, and they entered in, and found not the body of the Lord Jesus. And it came to pass, as they were much perplexed thereabout, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. And as they were afraid, are you afraid this morning? And bowed down their faces to the earth, they said unto them, why seek ye the living among the dead? He's alive. I serve a risen Christ. And I serve a Christ who's coming back for me. Coming back for me, coming back for you, coming back for the blood bought. One last thought. Revelation 5. One last thought. Revelation 5. And then we're done. 11-14. And I beheld and heard the voice of many angels round about the throne. So there's a throne. So there's your everlasting throne. From everlasting to everlasting. It won't decay. It's there. And the beasts and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000. Thousands of thousands. In other words, you can't number them. But there's a throne. We said his throne would never decay. Thrones will come and go. Kings will come and go. Queens will come and go. Christ is from everlasting to everlasting to everlasting. There's his throne. Saying with a loud voice, what are they singing? They're singing, worthy is the Lamb that was slain. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain. There's your Passover lamb. To receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. And every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth and such as are in the sea and all that are in them heard I saying, blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth on the throne. There's praise in heaven. There's an everlasting throne. There's a Passover lamb, and he's sitting on the throne. This one. You see this one here. Forget about everybody else. Christ, my Passover lamb, who redeemed my soul, is sitting at the right hand of the Father. He's risen, praise the Lord. And now I wait on his return. From everlasting to everlasting, he is God. And if you take nothing from this morning, he is God and you're not. He's in control and you're not. But we're kings and priests. And he loves you. He ransomed you. What was the ransom, Glenn? Was it 2 million? Was it 4 million? No. It was sinless blood. It was sinless blood that ransomed your soul. His throne is from everlasting to everlasting. He is from everlasting to everlasting. And he is God. Your Passover lamb. Praise him. Worship him. Give him honor and glory. For he alone. He alone. This one. Is worthy of your praise. And none other. Muhammad's not on the throne. Satan's not on the throne. Governments and kings and priests aren't on the throne. Or queens. It's a Passover lamb seated on the throne, taking glory and honor and dominion and power and worship. That's who's on the throne. That's my God. That's your God. Praise him this morning. Bless him and worship his holy name. Thank you.